Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, you find us in a series called LLJD, which stands for Live Like Jesus Did. We are asking the question of what does it look like to live like Jesus as a middle schooler in a 2024 world. Follow along, we hope you enjoy this message.
Good morning, good morning. Good to see you guys. As you heard, my name is Jesse Taylor. Good to see you, and you might recognize me, I might look a little different, a little bald, but I actually did the internship here 2 years ago, and I had dreads, so I had longer hair, so some of you look familiar, I might look familiar to you, and the rest of you are like, I have no idea who this guy is. And so, I just graduated from CIU, Columbia International University, and now I am currently living in Greenville. I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida, which I resided for most of my life, but now moved up here, super excited to be here. And then when I did the internship 2 years ago, I came in here, I think I taught twice, and then I was in here Sunday morning a lot, so I was the high school, middle school youth intern, and it was a fantastic time, and I am so excited to be back and with you guys. And so, now I just want to let you know, I enjoy asking questions, especially when I teach, and a lot of them are rhetorical, so you don't have to answer them, but some of them are a little personal. I want to get to know you, I want to hear what you have to say, and I am completely okay with sitting in the longest, palmiest, sweatiest, awkward silence that you can imagine until somebody answers. So I got my first question. Super hard question, super stimulating. And the first question is, what is rest? We hear rest all the time, super generic term, like you're supposed to be like, all right, yeah, you're resting, you're like, you should get some rest, and we say it all the time, but what is it? Somebody brave, right here, quick hand. Relaxing, okay, yeah, we hear we should relax, yes. Taking a break, yes, relaxing, break. Any other ideas of what rest could possibly be? Way in the back. Sorry, say it again. Okay, slowing down, pausing. I like that, yeah. Resting, taking a break. I think taking a break is a good example of what it is. Taking a rest, relaxing, taking a break, pausing. And so another question of part of what is rest, why is rest important for us? We hear it all the time, it's a general idea, but what's the importance of rest in the first place? Or to rejuvenate ourselves to be the best we can. Rejuvenate is a pretty good word. Rejuvenate means, like, let's say you have a cup, and it's empty, or we'll say a sponge, and a sponge is squeezed out of all the water. It's dry. It's been sucked dry. And to rejuvenate, to bring it back to life, to put some moisture in it, will be water. And so taking a break is to rejuvenate. I love that. That's a great example. So we're talking about rest, and obviously we have live like Jesus did. And the whole reason we're even talking about rest is because Jesus knew how to rest and how to rest properly. And rest, especially in America, can get kind of oversight, and we think we got to go, 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 move, move, move. How much can we do in the least amount of time as possible? No sleep. But that's kind of not really true, especially for us. And so a question is, in the Bible, who was the first person we see? That was quick. You can't answer. You were in there last hour. Who was the first person we see that rested in Scripture? Oh. Yes, God. God was the first person to rest after he created. God of the universe, who created the universe, and 6 days after he created the moon, the stars, the water, the grass, the animals, and then he made people. He made humans. And in the Scripture it says it was a six-day process, and then on the seventh day, he rested. He took a break. He might have taken a pause. And so in the Scripture, it says in Genesis 2, 1 through 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. And so it's kind of crazy to think God rested. God, the creator of the universe, an all-powerful being, and all these super powerful titles and stuff, he decided to rest. So if we are his creation, how much more is it important for us to kind of take a breath and find rest? And if God rested, we're not given any details about how he rested or what he did and what was restful. But if he rested, then it's made for us. And so a question we can ask is, what is a biblical way that we can rest? What in scripture even talks about rest that we can do it in a proper way? Because we all have a general idea of what rest can be. And so open your Bibles to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And then as soon as you're there, put your hand up so I can move on. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck here. Hands up, hands up. No hands, one hand, two hand. I need 10 hands, three hands, four hands, five, 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 six, 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 seven, 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 seven. All right, we got 10. Perfect. Thank you. All right, remember, this is Jesus talking. And he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so now we see Jesus inviting us, inviting people, his creation, to come to him and rest. But we're not really given any specifics here, which is kind of interesting because we have this general idea of rest. It's like, okay, but how do I go to Jesus and how is he going to give me rest? But there's a key word in here. Not only does he say rest, but he says rest for your souls. I don't know about you, but especially in middle school, I don't know how often I thought, man, I need to rest my soul. You know, we think physically makes sense. You know, you get tired, you know, maybe this morning was hard for you to get up. You guys are in the second service, but first service, everybody was still doing this, wishing they were in bed. And so we think about rest in a general way, but for Jesus to say his soul is interesting. But for each and every single one of us in this room, we have an idea about rest that's going to be different from the other person. Because each and every one of you are unique and you have your own hobbies. So for like some of you, you know, a day of rest is getting a nice long knitted shirt, you know, long sleeves, nice and cozy. I see quite a few of them in there. 'Tis the season, fall. And then you want to take a two-hand big cup of, you know, hot cocoa and you're warm in your snuggly blank. You know, this is it. And then you know what you're going to do next? A good book. You're going to open it and you're going to read it all day long. You're just going to enjoy this book. It's going to be so good. You're going to be so cozy and warm. By the end of that day, you're going to be like, wow, what a beautiful, restful day. That was good for me. Now, other people, possibly, a good restful day would be gaming with the boys all day, taking a break, hitting whatever game you like to do, engaging, hanging out, having fun, talking, blah, 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 and that would be a restful day for you. Some of you, it might be nature, enjoying going on a walk, a long walk on the beach, going to the mountains, going to the woods, and just taking time to be in nature, but for everyone, it's different. But Jesus obviously has an idea inside of here that is specific, especially for it to be of the soul. And I think it's really good for us to hear that, but we need to break down kind of the mains of what rest can be for us as human beings. Oh, I didn't explain this, my bad. Going back, Matthew, when it talks about yoke, I don't know if anybody understands exactly what that word means, but if Jesus is like, take my yoke, when I first heard that, I was thinking of a egg yolk, just an egg, and Jesus is like, here, take my egg, and you're like, I don't know. This feels a little weird, but okay. But it's not an egg, it's this. It's that wooden piece right between these two bowls, and so between these two bowls, it's called a yoke. It would combine them together, and it would take this metal piece in the middle, and somebody would be behind them guiding it. And they would take this metal piece and they would drive it through the floor of the dirt to break up roots and rocks so that they can till the ground to be able to plant seeds. And so that's what a yoke is. And so for Jesus to say, take on my yoke, all of you who are burdened, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jesus is asking us to join him in life of where he's already pushing and he's already moving. And he says, come along with me. you don't have to do it by yourself. You're not going to be alone on this journey, but you are able to join in me, have rest. And so the three things of rest that we should know is one, physical, mental, and soulful. These are three major rests, and a lot of us, we don't really think about mental rest, especially today. I think mental rest gets neglected a lot, especially for middle schoolers. I don't know the last time you thought about, like, hey, when was the last time you let your brain rest? When did you take a brain break? It's not a common conversation, and we're still up about what is a soulful rest. So for me, one time of being able to get good rest, a couple years ago, I got really sick. I got diagnosed with a disease called ulcerative colitis, and it was an autoimmune disease for my gut. I still have it inside my intestines and stuff, and I got really sick, really bad. Had to go to a hospital. I had to change my life, had to adjust. I lost so much weight. In between that time, I had to go back to school, Columbia International University, and I was getting used to my new life. Just having to go to the bathroom a lot more, had a lot of pain, couldn't process foods. And by the time I was at school, I was doing really good, but then I was supposed to switch medications, a confusion. I was supposed to be on the same medication, all this and that, and I got sick again, and I had to go to the hospital. Now, it was at the perfect time of school. It wasn't in the middle, it wasn't at the end, but it was right before the end that I got sick. So I was missing all the important classes to be able to take the, like, you know, finals, the big test at the end of the school year to be able to pass the class. I'm missing too many classes at school where I'm about to not pass because of this. And then I'm missing all the important information to be able to nail the exam, do good on the final. But on the other side of that, I got the internship to come here. I was super excited. I was looking forward to it, but I had a hard time because I was like, man, God, I'm doing so bad. I would hate to come here and get more sick. Maybe I should just go home and take a break. Maybe I should go home and figure my stuff out. A lot of prayer. God gave me the idea. He was like, let's do a little half and half. And so I talked up here. They allowed me to come for a little bit. I went back home, took a long break, and then I came back here, and it was a nice rest for me. Out of all the chaos of school and studying and having to wake up and go to classes, I had a nice physical rest, I had a mental rest, and I had a soulful rest. We could expound that more, but we don't have time. But it, for me, with the physical, it was a good time because we know when we're sick, there's no question that you need to sleep. You need to take vitamins. And that's what's on our mind mostly when it comes to resting. But when it comes to mental and soulful resting, we don't really think about it. And a mental rest can be we are overloaded with information. We have too much going on. Too much in our mind. We might be learning day in and day out, going to school, this and that. You might have just heard this, and you have all this in your mind, and it's like, whoa, I don't have time to think about this. And you need to take time to process this information because you're working so hard and your mind needs to rest. Another one is emotional rest. Don't think about this too often, but we're human beings. We have a lot of emotions. You know, we have sadness, we have happiness, the anger, there can be anxiety, and through a lot of things, especially if something sad happens, you need to take time and emotionally process what happened because your mind is being spent. You might think, well, that's my heart. It's like, yeah, your heart has a lot to do with it, but your mind takes on the toll of all the thoughts and everything that's going on. You're getting spinning there. Here goes, go. And you need to take a break and be able to process these things. You get drained. Socially, you might be an extrovert. You might be an introvert. Extroverts are like, hi, how are you? My name is Johnny. And you're like, whoa, nice to meet you, Johnny. It's good. Or you might have an introvert. You know, it's like, hi, my name's Sarah. And it took everything for Sarah to be able to do that. And she's got to go take a nap because it was as much as she could do to convince herself. And so even if you are an extrovert, even if you are an introvert, socially, you can still get burnt out. You can get tired. It's a lot going on. And so these are mental ways that we get drained that sometimes we don't take a step back and to think about. Last way is soulful. I don't know how many of you have thought about taking a soulful rest, a rest for your soul, but if we need to rest our soul, and there's biblical guidelines of how to rest, especially if God rested, the creator of the universe, how much more should we? Then we need to ask ourselves, well, goodness, what drains our souls? What takes it out of us? If I wasn't even thinking about my soul needs a rest, what drains our souls? Now, a very important thing to remember is human beings are made up of different parts. We have our mind, we have our heart, we have our body, and then we have our soul. And our soul was designed by God himself. And he made us to be in a personal relationship with him. The soul of you is you. It's what makes you who you are. And inside of your soul, there is a hole in it that is Jesus-shaped. And so each and every one of us were made to be in a relationship with God, to share in him. And so if that's the case, and that's what might give us rest or how we were supposed to be made, then what would drain us would be the opposite. And culture today is a lot of what is the opposite. Because I think we all know this, that we live in a sinful world. We live in a world that is going against what the Bible says, against what Jesus says. And so if it's against what Jesus says, it's going against it's going exactly against our souls. Because if Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest, take on my yoke, take on my burden, it is light. And then you have the world saying the opposite, you should do this, you should do your own thing. We have a problem. So a couple of examples about how the world culture tries to drain our souls. Social media is a big one. I'm pretty sure everybody in here has a phone. Not everybody probably has social media. But social media is something that you love, you hate, you might be addicted to. And there's good uses for it, but a lot of it is used to distract you and put things on your mind that are opposite of God. Maybe it's the way you should present yourself, how you should dress, how you should talk, and how you should be, that if you filter it through scripture and you take the words of the world and everything that it's saying, you're like, oh, this doesn't really line up. This doesn't really make sense. This is kind of going against how God asks me to be. But there's all these social pressures of how you should be to them, and that's draining your soul. Another one is school. School can be a hard place. Non-Christian school, Christian school, either way, not perfect, but they will have things that they are teaching and saying that's like, oh, well, this is what I believe, you know, God is dead, this and that, or just something that, it doesn't sit right in your heart and in your soul, and you're like, I don't know, this is not feeling good, and there's pressures of how you should be and talk, and you're like, and maybe you have to defend yourself at school. Maybe you have to stand up for your faith, which is not easy, especially if you're in a secular school. And Christian schools aren't perfect either. It's not like everybody's in there just praising the Lord all the time and doing everything right. But there are pressures at school that will make you have to engage in things that will drain your soul. Another one is music. Music is huge. Music is popular. Mostly everybody listens to music. And a lot of people like the popular music. And it's popular for a reason. Got a nice beat, got a good flow. But you know, sometimes you listen to the songs and you're like, oh my goodness, what are we talking about? A lot of the popular stuff right now is just so against God, talking in such profane ways, words that are just disgusting. I know every single one of us has listened to one song in our lives and we said, ugh, what did I just listen to? Now, there's plenty of good songs in there, plenty of songs that'll push you, you know, towards Christ and keep your mind there, but there's plenty of stuff that will drain you. Plenty of stuff that would be like filling your head with, this is how you're supposed to be, this is how you're supposed to talk, this is how you're supposed to walk, this is what's cool, this is what's not cool, and most of it goes against what the Bible says, and that will drain your soul. And the last one is friends. Friends are good. We love friends. We love to have friends. But sometimes there's people in our life that are not going to help us be the best person that we can be. And there's people that are not going to help us to follow Jesus in the best way that we can. And it's hard with some of those situations because it's like, man, me and Johnny have been together for so long, this and this, but Johnny always pressures me to whatever it is that when she or he says it, this comes back to your mind. Maybe there's things that your parents say or what your pastor say, and you're like, oh, that's not right. And then you got to stand up for yourself. Let me tell you, social pressures of friends and wanting to fit in, it stinks. Especially when they ask you to do something, you're like, I'm not supposed to or I'm not allowed to. And then you get made fun of and then pressured. And even being made fun of your faith. And that drains your soul. And that is something that is hard for us to understand. And so if this is what's draining and what's going on, and Jesus says, come to me, I will give you rest for your soul. There are ways for us to be able to do it. And in Psalms 23, 1 through 3, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He rejuvenates my soul. He fills it back up. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And so when we come to God, he's asking us because he wants to fill our soul back up. And this is all good and dandy, what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, we ask a whole bunch of questions. This is cool. But how do we apply this to our lives? How can I take this soulful rest, this almost new idea of how I'm going to be able to take on all these pressures and stuff that feel like it's draining that I haven't even thought about? Well, what's a practical way we can take it in? What's an application? There's three right here. And like you've heard prayer, you've heard worship, reading the Bible. But let's take a step. Let's think about it just a little bit more in a way that we can grasp. We hear about prayer. It's like, yeah, pray before your meals. Pray before you go to bed. Pray when you wake up. Pray, pray, pray. It's like, okay, that's good. But what exactly am I supposed to pray? And then if the teacher up here, Jesse Taylor, is telling you, well, how am I supposed to rejuvenate my soul inside of prayer? Nobody's told me about this. What am I supposed to say? Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. My soul. I feel so much better. It's not the same. Prayer is an intimate time with God. And it can be. You can shoot a prayer and be, you know, say different things or thank God for the food. But prayer allows you to be in the presence. It allows you to be next to God because he's our shepherd in a place and an environment that is like a still water in a restful pasture. And so a practical way to be able to do this is take 10 minutes. 10 minutes to just get away with God. 10 minutes isn't that long. And you're like, do I have to pray for 10 minutes exactly and talk the whole time? No, not exactly, no. But you can take 10 minutes to be in prayer and ask God to meet you where you are. And say, Lord, I'm here to listen. I want to be with you. And man, prayer, it feels like sometimes we might be asking stuff too much. Man, God says, come to me, all who are weary. Which means all he's asking is for you to come to him and tell him what's on your heart. Tell him what's on your mind and soul. Whatever's weighing on you, whatever mentally is weighing on you, you know, this and this, all this happened at school, whatever physically is weighing on you, whatever is hurting in your soul, just tell him. And I guarantee after you do that 10 minutes of stuff, you can go, just going to be able to breathe. So 10 minutes of prayer, just spending time with the Lord is a way to rejuvenate, to refresh your soul. Another one is worship. And obviously we did worship. So thankful for the band to be able to lead us and their great gifts for us to be able to come in front of the Lord and worship with him. And honestly, like a lot of us, we can stand and worship. We can sing the words and But if we take time to hold on, like take a step back and appreciate what we're doing, and realizing that we are singing promises of who God is that we can take comfort in. And so in those moments that our soul feels like it's everywhere, it's like, well, hold on. Jesus is king of everything. We can enjoy that and we can believe in it. A lot of my friends like to listen to worship music on their way to work and just praise him beforehand on their way to run errands. One of my favorite songs is Gyra. And it's just, as soon as that song kicks on, it's like, just feeling the presence of the Lord, being able to rejoice in the truths of God and being able to refresh my soul, especially with all this other music that's bombarding you, to be able to take time and just listen to music that is about God. And the last one I say is reading the Bible slowly. The reason I say reading the Bible slowly is, like, I know you guys have been told by your parents, teachers, people who come up here and it's like, read your Bible, it's very important, read your Bible, read your Bible. And you're like, what do I read? What am I even supposed to read? What's supposed to go on right now? And you might read something, and no matter what age you are, you're going to read the Bible and be like, well, I have no idea what that meant. That was cool. And it might be getting confusing. You might ask people. They might not know. But the reason I say read the Bible slowly is because when you take time to read it word by word, it might even be one verse, and then you stop and you go, let me think about this for a second. Let me pause. Let me take a break. Let me rest on this. It allows the words of Scripture to kind of be in your mind and be in your heart that you can reflect on it. Something that I wish I would have done when I was younger is my grandma used to tell me to memorize Scripture, and she would give me $1 for every time I memorized Scripture. When I was a kid, I didn't care. I didn't pay attention. I think I might have gotten like $3, and she offered all the time. And I wish I would have done now, because memorizing Scripture, you're going to be told all this, and I didn't appreciate it until I was about a sophomore in college. When you memorize Scripture, it allows you to be able to have something in your mind that in those moments when you're being drained of your soul, that you can quote something as a promise and a remembrance in that time of need and that dreary moment. And so reading the Bible slowly, memorizing Scripture, will allow you to let that word rejuvenate you in that moment or even times by yourself. And so I want to encourage you guys to think about it, because not only when you rejuvenate your soul, this helps your mind. And when your soul and your mind are healthy, it actually helps your body as well. And so I want you guys to just be more mindful about your soul and your mental, and be able to take that time and apply these things in your everyday life. So now you guys are going to go off to your groups, and you have a couple of discussion questions. So thank you so much for coming, and I will see you later.